Hallelujah. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Thank you so much. Romans 12. We're going to start there. We have quite a few scriptures today. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be in the house of God. Another thing I'm glad of, I'm glad it's fall. I'm enjoying just the creation of God right now. We were driving to Manahawkin this morning and go across to, I guess it's the Egg Harbor River, I'm not sure, Bass River. And it's just so pretty, so beautiful. God is so amazing, isn't he? Sometimes we just got to slow down enough, even when we're running around, and just take a look and see just how amazing God is. I left the house this morning, I guess about 6:15, 6:30, and I turned on the Zion Road, and all I could see was just a bright orange burst of color at the end of that. It just lines up. You've probably seen it in the mornings. And it's just amazing what God does every single morning and every single night. Amen. He is an amazing God, isn't he? I'm glad I serve Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Say that with me, transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I want to preach this morning about being transformed. Look at your neighbor and tell him, be transformed. Be transformed. Amen. Let's pray again, if you would, that God would touch us in this message. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we come before your throne again specifically. God, that you would anoint me in a special way today, that you would anoint this congregation, that we may hear your word. Lord, let your will be done in this service. God, minister to everyone that is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. You may be seated. We might as well start out wide open. But to be like this world or to live like this world is to be conformed to this world. It's just that simple. Just that simple. To be conformed to this world would lead to the destruction, just like this world. The Bible tells us where this world is headed. And the Bible tells us where the worldly mindset is going to take the world. And I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to think like the world. I don't want to think like the world. I don't want to think like the world. I'm stuck there, ain't I? Because this is the whole crux of the matter. Amen? This is the whole thing. It says that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that tells me it's got something to do with thinking. And we get ourselves in a lot of trouble thinking. We can think our way in or out of anything. We can think ourselves, we say we talk ourselves into it, but really it's up here. Between these two ears, there's this thing that just keeps moving. It keeps going. It keeps generating. And if you get it going the wrong direction, it can be really powerful. We've seen destruction in our world. Millions of people have died because someone got their thinking mixed up. And other people bought into that thinking, and they began to think that way. And always, always thinking like the world brings destruction. So we need a renewing of our minds. We need the Holy Ghost to come into us and not just touch us, but it needs to renew our mind. The Word tells us to not be conformed, but instead transformed. The process in which your mind is renewed and this rebuilding of your thought process will put you in a place with God, This is what the scripture says, that is good, then acceptable, and eventually the perfect will of God. You see, there's a misconception that we come to God, we come to the altar, God forgives us of our sins, we're baptized in Jesus' name, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we need all of those things, right? That is the new birth experience. We must have that before we can renew our mind. The problem is too many people stop there and don't allow God to renew their minds. So we try to live for God while having the mindset of the world, and it is always going to cause a clash. And I promise you that you're going to go where your brain is aiming. So if your brain is involved in the world and you are fixed on the things of the world and you think like the world, you will be of the world. But if we can allow God to renew our mind and get in and change our thought process, everybody say that. I've got to change my thought process. You cannot apply worldly thinking to godly living. It never makes sense. And whenever we try to apply worldly wisdom and match it up against what we're being taught by the Word of God, there's always going to be a disagreement. And so we are constantly being put to making choices and decisions when the choice and the decision we really need to make is this: I need a renewing of my mind. We need to pray every day, God, renew my mind today. God, let me see things the way you see things. Let me understand things the way you want me to understand things. Lord, let my brain reject the way of the world and let me accept the ways of God. Because you're renewed and you have a renewed way of thinking, now you're able to see that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You can't possibly know the will of God with a worldly mindset. I'm not challenging anybody. I'm not trying to be in anybody's face today. I'm just telling you, this is what you're dealing with. This is why you keep coming back and falling and coming back and falling and coming back and falling. Because we cannot live for God with a worldly mindset. It's impossible. It cannot. People get frustrated by the things of God. And they are baffled by their ways and by His ways. And they just can't get it because they're not allowing the renewing of their mind. You know, there is so much to do with this gray matter and how we live. It directs every step. It is the driving force of all that we do. Think about it. What can you do without your brain? I've met a few people that are trying. Amen. They need a renewing. They need a refilling of their mind. Hallelujah. Our world needs a renewing of their mind. Amen. We got to put a funnel and pour some back in there because there's something's been lost somewhere. We say, well, they've lost their mind. That's what people say about us. That's what the world says about us. They've lost their mind. They go into that building and they get dressed up. And they clap, and they jump up and down, and they shout, and the preacher gets up and gets all sweaty and red in the face and runs back and forth across the platform, even comes down into the aisles, and he screams and yells, and he gets excited, and then they all go to the front, and people put their hands on each other, and God does something, or something happens, and people start talking in language that nobody can understand. They've all lost their minds. No, we haven't. We've renewed our minds. There has been a renewing of our mind. But to the world, it looks like we've lost our mind. But that's all right. I got good news for you. Once you get in and your mind's renewed and you function mostly off the renewed mind, the world looks like they lost their mind. It turns around. You just got to give God a chance. You got to give God a shot. You've got to really say, that's it. I'm done messing around. I'm not just going to pray through and live for the world and pray through and live for the world. I'm going to live for God. I want God to change my brain.
And when that happens, it flips over. And everything that looks like opposite world to sinners turns upside down. And now, to the people of God, the ways of the world are opposite. I think if we can get this, I know if we can get this. How funny is it that I would say, I think if we can get this? It's using that brain again. We've got to use it like God wants us to. We've got to process thought like God wants us to process thought. We got to make important what God says is important. We've got to put things in order the way God says to put them in order, or it's never going to work. You know, we get mixed up. We get confused. We get all tangled up because we just need to be transformed. Everybody say that with me. We need to be transformed. God says this, when you come to me, two things are going to happen. Either you will allow me to change your way of thinking and therefore change your life, or you will conform to or take on again the likeness of the world. But we're going to look like something. There is really not this mystical in-between place. We really don't look like the world, but we really don't look like God. We look like the world if we don't look like God. It is that clear. It is that simple. Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We are built in sin. We start out that way. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We know these scriptures. We've probably heard these many, many times. We know, and maybe you don't. So let's just start from the beginning. You start out in the hole. From the very first time you draw breath, you're just breathing in sin. We are instructed and taught to live by the world's mindset. Everything that we do, we spend time learning the ways of the world, living like the world, and thinking like the world. And I'm not even just talking about sin. I'm just talking about survival. Just life. Everything about us is we are taught by the world to think like the world. And the older we get and the more we use our own thought process, the more we are like the world. It really does happen this way. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So if we think like the world, then we are like the world. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but this is the truth. This is why some of us in this place here today, or God would not have given me this message, but this is why that we struggle. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you keep struggling with this and you don't win and you don't change your mind and you don't let God renew your mind, you're going to get miserable enough you'll quit. I'm being plain. Because you cannot survive. Now, the hope of the church and the hope of the pastor is that you hang around long enough that somebody's going to say just the right thing, that God's going to move just the right way, or you're going to get just to that point you're hungry enough that you're going to say, okay, that's it. I'm going to let God renew my mind. So keep hanging around. I'm not asking you to go anywhere. I'm saying let God renew your mind. Just go ahead and get it over with. Just go ahead and get it over with. Let God change you. Let God do something within you. So the Bible says that as we think, so we are. If we think like the world, then we must be of the world. In short, it is very hard to live for God thinking like the world. Because you're going to question everything that you don't think like. I want that to settle. This is why we keep saying, well, I don't really agree with that. Well, because you're not thinking like that. You're not going to agree with that. It's not possible for your flesh and the worldly thinking to agree with that. Because it is a spiritual thing. And so we've got to renew it. We're stuck halfway in and halfway out of the church. We sort of come, but we're not really committed. We kind of like it. We get something, but we're not really ready to just buy it. And it's this war that we go through because we won't let God renew our mind. A worldly mindset will cause you to backslide. A worldly mindset will cause you to doubt God and the things of God, because a worldly mindset is against God. You cannot take worldly wisdom and then try to mix it with godly wisdom. It doesn't work. It's just not possible. Let's think of it this way. A child is born totally dependent on its mother. It cannot feed itself. It cannot take care of itself. It is completely in the hands of its mother. Yet that same child in just a couple of years, through a worldly mindset, will begin to rebel against that very same mother that it was absolutely dependent on. At two, they can do it all by themselves. They don't need you anymore, but just a couple of days ago, they couldn't do anything. And they still can't. But their brain says they can. Now, we call this the maturing process, and it's an acceptable part of our culture that a child is supposed to develop and start to think for itself and do. But you see what I'm saying? That's against the ways of God. So even the very physical things that are normal and acceptable go against the things of God, because we come to God and we don't want to depend on Him because we can do it all by myself. And we spend our whole life running into God and competing with God over what we're going to do and what we're going to be. When if we would just allow ourselves to go back to that state where Jesus says that the little children get it, but the adults struggle with it. Well, how is that possible? Because a child knows it needs mom and dad. You see what I'm saying? We need to get that new thought set, that new process of thinking, that new way of coming around. Then it gets worse around 12 or 14. That child no longer needs any guidance. Some of us are grinning because we remember when we were there. Some of us are a little older and we are dealing with it now. And some of us have been there, done that. We did it and our kids did it. We're watching our grandkids do it. It's a little bit humorous, okay? But at 12 or 14, there comes this dawning of knowledge in a child's mind, and they realize now that they are superior to all other human beings. And anyone that is older than them can no longer understand their problems. Am I getting on anybody's nerves yet? Oh, but we do this to God. We do, and we say, God, you clearly don't understand. And God, but I don't see it that way, God. I don't agree with that. I don't believe it that way. But yet God is saying it doesn't matter. That's the way it is. And the way it is, it's not going to change. So something has to change. I got news for you. It's our mind. It's our process. We cannot take God things and process them through world ways. It's never going to come out right. It's never going to come out the right way. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need faith to please God right off the get-go. We need dependency to please God. We need to be dependent on God to please Him. Now, that's against everything we know. Because I love, when my kids were very little, I knew they had to be dependent on me. And I had to feed them, and I had to change them. I had to do everything for them. But I also looked forward to the day where they could be independent. And I taught and raised my children to think for themselves so that one day I wouldn't have to do anything for them. And when the time come, they could do something for me. Is that all right? Rick's leading the charge. The girls are right behind him. We're going to be well taken care of. They've already decided who gets who.
I may be looking for a place because so far I haven't found a home. Dad, you're too hyper. We don't know what you're going to do when you get to be older. They say things like you're going to be worse than Grandpop. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, no. But you know, it's just the opposite with God. God wants us to be more and more and more dependent on Him. Why are you trying to do it by yourself? Take everything to God in prayer does not sound like do it yourself, and if it don't work, then come ask me. I want my kids to do it that way. Go, I taught you. Get it, figure it out. If you have a question, ask me. Otherwise, I'm staying out of it. God is just the opposite. God is saying, no, come to me first. Bring everything to me in prayer. Bring everything to me. Let me guide your life. Let me lead your life because I know you're limited, but I'm not. And the more you depend on me, the better your life is going to be. And the more you trust me, the greater things are going to happen in your life and in your heart. But we work against that nature. We work against it. Then it says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do we really believe that? Or do we just pray out of habit? Or we just punch in a prayer clock? Do we really believe that when we pray, God does it? That'll change your prayer life. That'll change your prayer life to realize the power that you have just because you're following God's plan. We speak it. He does it. He does it. You remember when you were little, guys? Remember, guys, when you were little? And your mother was the world's most beautiful woman. You remember feeling that way? And I think somewhere in most of our hearts at some point in some time, there was the thought in there that when I get older, I'm going to marry her. Right? That's how we felt about our mothers. Your dad was the strongest man in the world. Remember that? And then your worldly wisdom kicked in, and you realized there were some faults with that process. All of a sudden, the girl down the street passed Mom. Mom is no longer the most beautiful woman in the world. That 16-year-old girl is, right? That 17-year-old girl, whatever it is, that's the most beautiful woman in the world. And guys, you began to think in your heart that I am surely stronger than Dad. Come on now. I remember those days. I remember it. I remember when he hit it. Oh, that was a great day. We were sitting at the kitchen table. For some reason, I was out of my normal place and next to Rick at the table, kind of ran long ways. Nobody was in the end seat. It must have been the will of God. Rick was here, and I was joking with him, and we were all just talking. I guess you were about 16. 17, and he said something, and I looked over at him, and I said, boy, I can still take you. And he just said, Less than 1 second later, I was airborne, connecting with him, taking him to the floor, and the rumble was on, because I was a little worried myself. But I couldn't ever let him know that he was getting close. You know what I mean? Our minds get all mixed up. Every guy in here probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. We need God. We can't compete with God. And we are the priest of our home, men. But we are only the priest of our home when we are following Jesus Christ. I want us to get that. We're only the priest of our home when we are following Jesus Christ. When we go out around Him, we can't handle it. We need God. We are so used to being in the shape of the world. When we come to God, we come with a shape. Amen. And I'm not talking about body styles and all that right now. I'm just talking about our life gets wrapped around the world. And then when God begins to renew or reshape us, we don't particularly care for how we're being bent because it's not normal. It's not what we are comfortable with. However, I have met people that live in absolute filth. And that is normal to them, and they are comfortable with it. As a pastor, this was years ago, but I actually had someone come to me for counseling. A young lady came to me and my wife and needed counseling because she was convinced her husband did not love her because he was not beating her. And I said to myself, my God, how is that a place to be comfortable with? So what I'm trying to say, it's just because we're used to it and it's comfortable and we've worn it this long. Don't be uncomfortable. Don't get freaked out. Don't panic when God begins to bend things another way, when God begins to reshape your life, when God begins to retool things in your mind. We say, oh, I don't like the way that feels. I don't like the way this is going. I don't agree with this because it's against what we've always known. But He is the master craftsman. And when He gets done pulling things and shaping things and making things right, when He gets done, we will be a masterpiece. But we've got to trust Him and believe that He's going to do it the right way. Let's face it, coming in from the world to the things of God is the most severe culture shift anybody ever experiences. I know what culture shift is. I've lived overseas. I've gone to place where nothing was done like we do it here. I've felt the frustration. I felt please, could you just pick it up a little bit? Could you just go a little faster? Could we just do this a little more organized? I felt that kind of frustration, amen, because it was uncomfortable to me. But after I figured out it's not going to change, I've got to if I'm going to survive here. Things began to get a lot better. I began to operate on island time. Amen. I began to relax a little bit and realize that the pace is less demanding here and things are going to go differently. And I got comfortable with that. Then I came back to the United States and all of a sudden, everything is uncomfortable again. I'm driving on the wrong side of the road. Man, I scared a lot of people that first week that I was back here, you know, because you get used to doing things a certain way. Trust God. Let him work through you. Let God do things in your life. And I don't have a headset. But I found something here I wanted to show you. Plato. This is some pretty cool stuff. Joey, you like Plato? I know you do, because this was in your classroom. You see, it we can form it. We can make it change shapes, right? It doesn't take a whole lot to change Plato, but when we come to God, we're conformed to this world. So we may just look like this. But that's what we're used to. That's what we're used to. But then God starts changing us. And we come and we pray and we ask God to help us. And He begins to work us in His hands. The Bible says it this way, is the potter's wheel. So I'm not going to sling clay all over the sanctuary to show you how a potter's wheel works. This is basically the same process. And we're a lot like Plato because the Bible says that we're made from the dust of the earth. You're just big dough balls. Okay? So God begins to work us and change us and shape us and mold us and make us into something that we're not used to being. So God gets us here. And then we decide, well, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't know if I really, really want to live for God. I like what I feel, and it's nice. I like the change, but I think I'm happy where I am. I'm happy where I am, you know? And then we get reconformed to the world. This is what it looks like when you hang around knuckleheads. See, that's what you end up looking like. No, I'm just kidding. But we get reconformed to the world. And the world bends us back out of shape. And then God's trying to form us back up. And we've got to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to live for God and be renewed and transformed, or are we going to be conformed to the world and just kind of whatever we hit, that's what we look like? We want to look like the world, we just keep hanging around the world, right? And we're just going to keep looking like the world. But God keeps trying to take us and mold us back and make us into something special. Now, if I had skills, I would build a nice little animal or something here, but I don't, so I won't. But God does. And God can make us into something amazing. We come in from the world, and maybe we're hooked, or we're strung out, or we're just stuck. Our family could be a wreck. That's our conformity. We just look like the rest of the world. The family's a wreck. There's no peace in the home. Everything's upside down. The finances are a wreck. Everybody's in serious debt. Everybody lives under extreme pressure, because that's what everybody does. And then God starts bending us and shaping us and molding us and changing us. And we hear things we don't agree with because we can't see them. But if you'll let God renew your mind, if you'll let God renew your mind, He'll change your way of thinking. And it will become normal to be sold out for God. It will become normal to live for God. I wonder how many of us have ever thought, man, if I could just get out in the aisle and shout. If I could just get out in the aisle and shout to Jesus. But I can't do it. Because everybody's going to think, and that feels weird. And some of us struggle with different things. I would want to lift my hand so bad, but I can't. Because I've never done that before, and it doesn't make sense to me. But I promise you, if you press through those things and allow God to renew your mind, something happens inside of you. Come on, it's no different than when the first time we meet God, we got to change some things just to receive the Holy Ghost, right? I'm done with that. God, forgive me. We do things we've never done before, and God changes us. Well, it never stops. It never goes away. We just keep getting better and better and better and better every time we let Jesus renew our mind. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye have henceforth walked not as other Gentiles walk, but in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding. Notice how much emphasis there is on this. The understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and work all uncleanliness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. This is the process. So be that you have heard Him and you've been taught by Him and the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off. Say, I put off. This is it. Everybody's waiting for God to do it, and He's waiting for you to do it. He's given you the power to do it, but you make up your mind how it's going to think. We put off concerning the former lifestyle conversation of old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on, say put on, I put on, the new man, after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away, say I put it away, lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, sin not, let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that may he give unto him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to unto the day of redemption. Grieve not. Say, well, how am I going to grieve the Holy Spirit? By not renewing your mind. By refusing the renewing of your mind. Because you're going to constantly fight against it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That, brothers and sisters, is the process of change.
That is what we need to do. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. That means there's something on us to do it. We are going to determine, I am not going to believe that I'm a failure. I am not going to believe that I'm going to hell. I am not going to believe this lying spirit that's trying to get me depressed. I am not going to believe that Sister So-and-so doesn't like me in the church. I am not going to believe that the church could care less whether I'm there or not. I am going to believe that I am important to the kingdom of God. I am going to believe that God loves me. I am going to believe that my faith in God is going to move mountains. I am going to believe that God is going to use me to do great and wondrous things. I am going to believe. I am going to believe the word of God enough that no, when I read something I don't like, I change. I believe Jesus Christ. I believe that word is to build us. It is to make us into something that God wants us to be. To me, it's just this simple. Why would God come to this earth, be born, live, suffer, die, be resurrected, all for me, to let me flounder? That doesn't make any sense, even in a world's way of thinking. So that must mean that God is pulling for me, that God is there to help me, that God is there to lift me up, that God is there to be right there with me. He's not telling me to do something that He's not going to help me with. Jesus Christ loves me. Jesus loves you. You can do this. You can live for God. You can be successful. You can go on and do the things of God. But you've got to renew your mind. Let's stand together. Why don't we just close our eyes all over this sanctuary? Can we commit? If you've struggled with this and you know in your heart you have, can we commit today to allow Jesus to transform our lives by allowing the renewing of our mind? Can we lift our hands all over this sanctuary? And can we begin to use our voice to talk to Him right now? Listen, everybody deals with this at one point or another. And if it's where you are right now, there's no shame. We just need to be transformed today. And Jesus is in the house. He's here today. God, transform my mind. Help me to start thinking in faith and trust God's word in everything. Oh, Jesus. I may not even understand it all, but I don't have to. I just have to have faith. I trust you enough that it doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense, because I trust you more than I trust my own thinking. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Come on, I'm not coming up with something new. This is how apostolic young people make it through, and they can marry pure because they say, I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. When I get married, I'm going to be pure. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stay the course. This is how we all make it through every day in the church. This is how we make it living for God. We just need to take it to the next level. Say, God, renew my mind. Renew my mind. Oh, my goodness. Can I challenge you this morning to just do it? Just sell out. Just give it all to Jesus Christ. Trust Him completely. Let Him make the moves in your life. Hallelujah. As they begin to sing this song, I'm going to open up this altar. Would you come? Would you pray? Would you ask God to touch your heart and your mind today? Would you ask God to renew your mind today? Oh, Jesus, fill this place with your spirit. There is power.